You have entered trailertrash.wordpress.com. So crack open your Pabst Blue Ribbon and let's party.
Make me paranoid, baby.
Is it true that there is a place in a man's head that if you shoot it, it will blow up?
He got a beautiful badge, man.
Dad's? Oh, he got all of that one.
Damn, we're in a tight spot.
Just one moment, please. All systems are functional.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, Garrett.
Hi, how are you, Bauer?
Good. Hello, and welcome to Trailer Trash, your tri-weekly podcast where we use upcoming movies to get to know our guests. Today is Tuesday, February 12th, 2013, and I am your host, Mike Bauer. Joined with me, as always, is...
Garrett Smith.
Hi, Garrett.
Hello, Bauer.
How was Last on Fairmount?
I didn't go.
Okay, good call.
Yep. Oh, wait, this is like in the future. I totally went, and it was awesome.
Good set?
Great set.
Great set.
Really good set.
Did you get your manager back?
Really great. Yep, back on board.
Awesome, awesome.
Managing the shit out of me.
Okay.
Yep.
So today we are joined with our first lady, and
Michelle Obama is here, folks.
Michelle Obama is here, and we're excited because we've done this. Will be episode 28, I believe, or something like that.
I don't even know anymore.
I don't even know. I lost count of episodes, but we've done a lot of episodes, and we've yet to have any lady energy up in the bedroom.
Yes, this is a victory for feminists everywhere.
Yes.
Consider that glass ceiling shattered.
I'm just really glad he had this idea that he was going to do all romantic comedies for this episode.
And oh,
I was like, don't
God.
Do that.
It was all romantic comedies. I was going to change the intro to have all females in the intro instead of like all the clips that we have. It was going to be very feminist power, and Jezebel would have been proud.
Or very angry.
Probably very angry, because it would have been like, why are you treating her differently and mentioning her ladiness?
Yeah. Like, well, that's why it's so great, is that this first movie that we're going to be doing is like a crazy action movie. So I'm pretty excited about
and
that.
And girls don't like that.
Girls don't like action movies.
Oh, boy.
It's Bridesmaid on crack. Good?
That's what Dead Man Down is?
Yes.
Okay.
So our guest today, she is a comedian. She is an improviser. She is an editor for a very funny blog in Philadelphia that does the comedy scene and interviews and all that fun stuff. Our guest today is Allison Zeidman.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hello. Can you do your best screw
up? Thanks for having me and treating me like a second-class lady citizen.
Drinking a PBR on Trailer Trash.
That's right.
So, Allison, what we normally do to get the first episode of the three, we like to just to get to know you personally as, well, as we were talking, we were going to talk about comedy first.
Okay.
Because you have a whole bunch of stuff. So what got you into comedy and like what were some of your influences like getting into it? Like what struck you to want to be a comedian?
I was always a really big stand-up fan just growing up. I didn't really start thinking of it as something that I should or could or would want to do until in college. I went to art school and eventually realized I didn't really want to be an artist, so I started using like my sound art classes to record some like comedy monologue type things.
Oh, cool.
And then I started tweeting and just like friends like giving me good feedback on both those things, and then it was like, okay, I think I want to try stand up, but I was terrified and I only told two people and I thought about doing it for a while. I grew up in South Jersey. I went to college in New York. I moved back to the Philly area for a job after I graduated in 2011. And that fall, basically, I needed a way to meet people. I was interested in comedy. So I decided to take an improv class. I still wanted to do stand-up, but I was still too scared. And I figured doing improv would be a good way for me to just get some performance experience and just get used to being in front of people on a stage.
Was it more comfortable because it was like a smaller group of people, like contained, like there wasn't an audience?
I don't know why I thought it would be more comfortable, honestly, because like then I've talked to sometimes I'll explain that to people, like people that do stand up, and they say that improvising sounds a lot scarier than, because it's like you're making it up. You don't prepare. I mean, you practice, but you don't prepare ahead of time. You don't have a script.
Yeah.
So I don't know why. I didn't think of it as like easier. I guess I just thought for some reason that like that would be more comfortable.
Okay.
See, I wanted to do improv for so long, and I think we've had this conversation before, how I wanted to sign up for improv classes, and I go to sign up and have all my credit card information in to sign up for FIT, and then I'm like, no, I don't want to do this, because then I have to get there and I'll be so embarrassed, because I get embarrassed just in general. Yeah. I like being the center of attention as a person in my group of friends,
yeah.
But meeting new people and then trying to be the center of attention in an improv class where everybody's trying to be the center of attention.
Well, I'd say actually, like, improv is amazing for that if you feel self-conscious. Like, I'm just generally an anxious person, definitely have had it and have, like, as we all do, like, issues of just, like, being self-conscious and not being comfortable in my own skin. And, like, doing improv, the first class, I almost didn't go because I was just so terrified of, like, looking stupid and, like, being afraid of, like, just doing silly things and, like, looking like an idiot. But then you get there and, like, everybody's there for the same reason. Everybody is also doing, like, the stupid, crazy things, and it just, like, it helps you in other areas of real life to just not be self-conscious and just, like, I'm so much more, like, outgoing and just more comfortable with myself than I was a year and a half ago.
That's cool.
When I started doing improv, and just, like,
I love improv more than I love stand-up comedy, because I, like, grew up watching, like, ASCAT and UCB on, mm-hmm. on comics, and those shows, like, came to me more. I was like, these guys are making it all up on the spot, and it just seems like they're just creating a story together, and that's what I love. It's like, because there's no rules in improv. It's like, well, there is rules.
There are guidelines, yeah.
But if you're on a team that understands exactly where you're going, they'll go with you.
Yeah, it's all about supporting one another, and, like, yeah, just as far as, like, I'm sure, like, for a lot of comedians, I would say, like, anxiety is an issue, and, like, with improv, like, it's all about being prepared for the unexpected and just, like, rolling with things, and taking things as they come, and, like, you know, for someone like me who, like, would be uncomfortable not having, like, every aspect of their life, like, planned out, like, getting used to that has been really, really amazing.
I feel like it would be useful for, like, crowd work, like a comedian to, like, take improv classes.
Yeah, I've heard, like, I think, I don't want to, like, quote anybody, but, like, I feel like I've heard, like, Daryl Charles and, like, people like that mm-hmm. that do both, like, talk about that, you know, it just makes you more flexible, more comfortable. In terms of writing jokes, it's really mm-hmm. great, especially, like, during, like, that editing, like, self-editing process, when you're, like, just, okay, I know this needs something, or I know I need to add something here, or, like, edit this line. Mm-hmm. Like, just being able to, like, on the spot, kind of, like, be in the habit of making up new things. I think, yeah, definitely improv has those applications.
Yeah, because I can see my buddy who I just met through Dan Scully, he's actually in N-Crowd, Matt.
Matt Lampson?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Matt's great.
And, I met him the night that you guys did the Philly Sketch, what, Improv Festival?
Oh, yeah.
And he came out with us afterwards, and he did Raven, and first time I ever met him,
mm-hmm.
and he got up on stage, and he's like, oh, I don't do stand-up that often, but he felt like he looked like he was so comfortable, and after mm-hmm. seeing him doing...
Matt is super outgoing.
Yeah. I think it just might be his personality. Mm. Like, I think he's just like, yeah, I'm ready to go. Like, he's just so happy to do everything. Like,
yeah. And Matt is yes-anding life.
Yeah.
Just taking any opportunity and doing it with a smile, for sure.
So who are some of your, influences growing up in comedy, since you're a female comic, and I know female comics are very rare. Like, I mean, they are rare to come by. Like, I'm not saying, like, there's more male comics than there are female comics.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard kind of, like... I talked about this with Mary Rudzinski when she was doing an interview for What Out, and it's kind of trying to strike that balance between, like... You know, there shouldn't be different expectations for, like, a male versus a female comedian.
Right.
Like, that's fucked up.
It's one of my favorite but at the same time,
you want to, like, kind of acknowledge that, like, yeah, there aren't a lot of women doing this, and kind of, like, celebrate that, and, like, hopefully that'll lead to more. As far as my influences, like, yeah, it has nothing to do with gender. I like who I like. I love Louis C.K. Like, who doesn't?
Yeah.
But what I really love about him is, like, he's so... just so intelligent, and he, you know, he does silly stuff, but he also does things that make you really think about social issues, mm-hmm. and I think that's amazing to, like, really, be doing something significant with comedy, and I think that's also, like, a reason why, I was wary of doing stand-up for so long, because I felt like I've got to, like, you know, say something, like,
it's
important, you know,
somehow.
Like, yeah, like, benefit society somehow, and, yeah, and, like, I have some jokes that do address more serious issues and some things that are just, like, just fucking stupid about, like, cults and stuff. as far as other people, I like, one of my earliest like comedy fandom memories, I guess, is seeing Zach Galifianakis on a Comedy Central special, and developing a celebrity crush on Zach Galifianakis.
because I think everybody has a celebrity crush on him. He's just so, he just seems like the perfect person to just hang out with. Like, just all the interviews and stuff I've, like, after knowing, like, seeing his first stand-up on Comedy Central, and then seeing, like, the whole, like, Live at Purple Onion that he did for Netflix. It's, they're two, basically two completely different things, is because the first one, he's, like, doing his normal thing, and then Purple Onion, he's just out. Like, it just shows more inside of him. And then he lives on a farm with his dad. Like, that's, like, the best thing ever. He farms on his off time. Like, when he's not doing movies, he just doesn't like being around people, and he just wants to do his own thing. And I think he understands, like, there's celebrities out there, like, he's hit stardom because of the, I think the Hangover movie has probably topped him into that. Which kind of...
He's, like, out in the world now.
Yeah, and I'm aware of him. Yeah, and I kind of want to know what's going on in his head with that, like...
Right, because he talks about all of that, like, anxiety and, like, claustrophobia in the elevator and everything live at the Purple Onion. Yeah, it's, like, interesting to see how someone like that probably is managing fame.
And he's just constantly... he's not afraid to do anything. Like, he, like, on SNL, like, when he has, like, he has probably the best beard I've ever seen.
His beard is very impressive.
And I'm very, both of us are probably very envious. But then on Saturday Night Live, he does this whole skit, and he gets just so into it, like, loves the comedy, that he'll shave off his whole beard for a skit, and just, like, on SNL, and then he'll just, like, do his own thing and then grow back.
Yeah, the word you use was fearless, and I think that's great. That's the goal, like, for I think, any comedian. I think I started realizing that with improv. I did a Fringe Festival show that was directed by Nick Gillette and produced by Philly Improv Theater, and it was kind of out there. It was, like, just 1-hour-long show, loosely based on Joseph Campbell's hero myth, so there were a lot of... It was called Myths and Monsters, so there were a lot of, you know, being grotesque creatures and, like, throwing yourself around the stage and, like, very, very physical, and, like, I love that. It was like, I want to, it's like, I don't want to be afraid to do anything on stage, like, with my body, with, like, you know, as far as improv with my body, as far as stand up with, like, saying things and just, like, kind of going all out. And I think we had planned to talk more about stand up now. Like, they're kind of, I'm talking more about improv. After that, Corey Holland, he's also on the N Crowd, was talking to me about the two of us forming a duo together. Cause at the time we were also on an independent improv team together, and that duo is now Steve Rogers is Dead. But, like, when we were first talking about that, like, what we wanted out of the name and what we wanted out of the team, for me, it was very important to be aggressive is the wrong word, but it's like, I wanted to, like, it's like, let's fucking, like, throw everything we have on stage and just, like, go for it, go for everything, and, like, we're comfortable enough with each other that, like, we can, like, be, like, really physical, and just put everything into it.
Do you see a difference between doing the N Crowd, which is a, like, a larger group, to doing the duo stuff? Like, the N Crowd, I know when I saw you guys at the Improv Fest, it was short form. But I know when you guys do your normal show, it's more long form.
No, the N Crowd is always short form. Like, always that, like, that gamey style. Those are short form improv games. And prior to N Crowd, I'd never done that before. And I do like that because the emphasis is more on, like, getting to the joke really quick, whereas, like, in long form, you don't necessarily want to, like, chase the laugh. So it's like, challenging trying to go back and forth between the two sometimes.
So is the duo long form?
The duo is long form, and Corey and I have actually been working on doing a mono scene, so just, like, our 20-minute set will just be one long scene. And I really love that because the way that we perform together, like, we'll stay very grounded in reality, but, like, weird, like, strange, sometimes vulgar things will happen in our scenes, but we still treat them, like, with the seriousness of like, being normal, and, like, just, like, playing that with him is just really fun, and just having someone that you trust as a performer, and, like, trust to, like, support you in the scene, and, like, trust to take it in places that are gonna be good has been really, really enjoyable.
I feel like I would be better with the long form. Like, because I like the whole stories, and I try to get Garrett to do it on the podcast. He's so bad, but it's not really being bad. It's just that I don't think I don't think he trusts it enough to go into a way. It's because
You've got to commit to it. Definitely, like, everything you do with comedy is, like, you have to commit. You have to be doing it fully. If you feel silly doing it, or you get, like, if I have this problem a lot in crowd because the scenes are so quick that sometimes it's hard to like get myself like invested in like the character or whatever, and then I get self-conscious, I get too aware of the audience, and then like I'm fucked at that point. If I'm too aware of myself, like forget it.
I just feel like the long form is a little bit better. Like it just seems so much better, especially if you're with the like a group of people, like three or four people that you trust, and you guys can just go through and tell the story of like how ASCAP does it, where they'll have one person that's a moderator, they'll read the story out loud, and then they kind of just don't even take their story, they just take a part of it, and then they start doing a whole different scene about it. And then what I realized is I was listening to another podcast, I think it was Matt Besser on his podcast, and he was talking about how every improv scene ends with somebody with a gun. And I don't know what if that's a true thing, but I've listened into a lot of their episodes, and there's always like one guy will always bring in a gun, and then that's how the scene always ends. And we're like, all right, so I guess it is.
It's the Michael Scott school of improv.
Yeah, that's like, isn't that like an inside improv joke? Like the worst improv is somebody pulling a gun on
not necessarily pulling out a gun, but pulling out, like, you know, people listening to the recording won't see this, but I was like doing like this where it's like you make like
the little L shape,
the thumb and forefinger are like, it's like that's not like what do you look like, you'd hold it like this where it looks like you're holding like a physical object.
Yeah.
So that's like an improv pet peeve, like, and you know, using the phone like this, like the, like the fucking, like the WhatsApp whatever sign, like instead of like holding a phone. As far as every scene ending with someone pulling out a gun, that hasn't been my experience. But I think, just, you know, those, they mentioned the Michael Scott school of improv, like, you guys probably watched The Office, where like he's always like, he's playing Michael Scarn and like secret agent, and he's always pulling out a gun. I'm sure that came from a place of like being in improv classes where somebody's like trying, like, you know,
there's a one guy who I like love that I just watching anything that he does in improv, and the people that react to him is so amazing because it's my phone knocking. It's Andy Daly. I don't know. Do you know Andy Daly?
No, I don't.
Have you seen Eastbound and Down?
Yeah.
He is the principal.
Okay. And he's a huge improv, like he started out with the UCB and stuff like that. But he always takes all the scenes to some dark, dark place.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always like, in another podcast, Comedy Bang Bang, he comes on and does characters, and he's always trying to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on any. Yeah. But he constantly
does
it.
I love that too.
And he doesn't. And everybody knows it's going that way. So, one episode, they brought him in, and they, like, want to, like, confront him as he was doing a character, and, like, Andy, you need to stop. Like, every one of your characters goes and commits suicide. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's, like, trying to go off on that. And then he just takes it darker. And, like, they just go with it, just because that's his style.
Yeah.
And in improv, does
that can be a lot of fun, and I find that kind of, like, dark humor very funny. Mm-hmm. Not everyone does, which I've learned. Like, Corey and I, when we do our duo, we often do, like, the scenes get weird, they get dark, they get very serious, but, like, there are, like, moments of humor from that. On the other hand, doing short form with the end crowd, I think people are expecting a really like punchy, like laugh a minute show.
But if you're the one person that brings it down, you're like,
Well, there's this one night we did the advice panel game where it's like three people are up, they're each playing a character, and the audience interviews them, like gets advice from them. And I played a little kid whose parents were getting divorced, and it really every question came back to like, well, it doesn't mean they both don't still love you, and like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And like a couple people were laughing, but a couple people I think just didn't appreciate it at all. And it was like, but then I was stuck with it.
See, I love dark humor. It's like my favorite thing. And so especially with my jokes that I've been doing for stand-up, they're just so dark. But that's not who I am. It's me basically just playing a different character of myself, of my happy-go-lucky lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's like, it's... Yes, I said happy-go-lucky lifestyle. But I enjoy that more just because it takes me out of being myself, that I can just like, oh, I'm going to write this. My family's like the nicest people in the world, but then I have jokes about my dad watching me masturbate. Like, it's not me. A lot of my friends know my parents, and they're like,
that
didn't happen. Of course it didn't happen. I think that's what makes it funnier. It's like, if you know who I am and like you understand, like when I'm off stage and you're talking to me, you're like, that, I don't understand what's going on. And it's the people that get it. And then the people are like, I get the, I'm like, that's what I want. Like, I'm like freaking these people out, and then just try to dig deeper and deeper into that hole. And
And like, there's nothing wrong. You know, it's true. Like anything, like some audiences are going to like you, some are not.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what's,
I was wondering, how do you prepare for like a, what did you call it? A mono scene?
Mono scene. We were practicing together and doing shows, and we just found ourselves doing longer and longer scenes. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, like, let's make this, like, a mono scene is, like, a thing. So it was like, let's make that a goal, to, like, yeah. do a show as a mono scene. And then the last show we had, it was like, we were trying this new form that Rick Horner, who is heavily involved with Polygon and mm-hmm. one of the founders of the Improv Incubator, he saw us do a show and then ended up emailing us and saying, like, I've had this form that I came up with just, like, rolling around in my head for a long time. I haven't found, like, the right person to do it with. Like, I think you guys would be great for it.
Cool.
And it like, lends itself to being a mono scene. And the idea is, like, you're doing one long scene, but there's, like, a love-hate element. And, like, mm-hmm. You go back and forth between the love and the hate, not with edits, like, just, like, mood changes within the same scene mm-hmm. with the same characters. And not necessarily, okay. like, you know, like, straightforward, like, love, love, and, like, hate, but, like, yeah, so then we were working on that form and, like, doing longer scenes anyway, and then our last show, it was like, all right, like, let's see if we can pull it off. If it's not going well, we'll edit it, we'll start a new scene.
Yeah.
But we did it. We were pretty proud of ourselves because awesome. it seemed like it went well. Yeah, so I guess if you, like, were starting from scratch, like, I'm not sure, like, I'm not in any way qualified to give advice on, like, how to, like, do it, but it was just, like, we found ourselves enjoying doing longer scenes just naturally.
And you were doing them out at shows. This was, like, as you were performing, you were...
It was in shows and in practices, In practices, they were probably, like, we were letting them go even longer.
Okay.
When we were doing shows and we were starting to, like, you know, we were doing multiple scenes within mm-hmm. a set, it was, like, we would edit at some points, but then there was always, like, one or two scenes within the set that would be really long. Mm-hmm. Those were, like, always our favorite scenes of the set. Yeah. So it's, like, let's push ourselves to do, like, a full 20 to 25
That's
minute
cool.
scene.
Yeah. Where do you do something like that? Like a mono scene? Like, to perform it out?
Anywhere. There were lots of great places for teams that, you know, teams that are established and also teams that are just starting out to just mm-hmm. get a show, like the side show that Mike Marbach runs,
okay.
Polygon, great okay. too. Jess Carpenter with Comedian Deconstruction is really open to having, you know, you just need to ask, really.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
even, like with Fit, you know, like, you just need to mm-hmm. ask and, like, find out, like, if they have space for you. Like, that's what's great about Philly. Like, there were so many opportunities before.
Yeah.
All right, well, how about we talk more improv on the next episode?
Sure.
Let's take a break.
Yep.
Let's get into the movie.
Okay.
Yes.
And we'll talk about the movie, and then on the tomorrow show, we'll talk a little bit more about the improv. I have some questions that I want to get into.
Okay.
So the movie...
I feel like it talks a lot about improv, and I kind of sort of glossed over the stand-up. Is that okay?
No, we'll get...
we'll get back to it.
Wherever
okay.
the conversation
we'll
goes.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
We just,
cool.
That's why we have three episodes.
Yep. right. We have plenty of time.
So the movie we're going to be watching, and that you guys should watch too, is called Dead Man Down. It was shot in Philadelphia, takes place in New York, and we'll watch that, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready, quartet? All right, let's go.
Drink to me, darling, not with thine eyes, but with past blue ribbon beer. 'Cause if you toast me with past blue ribbon, I'll know that your love's sincere.
The beer that is splendid is the beer that is blended from 33 fine brews. And if you serve me sparkling clear, perhaps your love, dear, I can't refuse.
You can serve it with cold cuts, it's sure to please. Serve it with a dab of tasty nipping cheese. Never food refreshing, it has no cost.
I've drawn a million laps for a bottle of Pabst Blue
And we are back.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. Hi. Garrett, do your thing.
Oh, this week we watched Dead Man Down, starring Colin Farrell. I never know how to say her name. Noomi Rapace.
That's my guess.
And Dominic Cooper, who I did not see in the trailer once.
Nope.
Directed by Niels Arden Oplev, who directed, as they stated specifically in the trailer, the original The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Is that the only movie that the, like, you can't just say Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, you have to say The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo? Like,
yes, it's the only one.
I see in The Hangover. Didn't work.
Nope. I think you do have to say The Hangover.
I guess you do.
Yeah.
I see Hangover?
Yeah.
Hangover 2?
Well, I guess 2 you would say, like, Hangover Part 2.
Yeah. Well, it's no.
But the first one you say, The Hangover.
Allison, thoughts?
Never mind, actually. I have nothing to add.
I thought this trailer was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was like a, like an opera of an action movie, I wanted to describe it as. Like,
it had like a weird like film noir to it.
Yeah.
At the same time, like a modern day like action noir.
Well, it just had some interesting like visual things to it, like the spiral staircase as the camera rotated down through it. I thought it was like pretty nice looking. There was like the color choices.
You guys
choice
know
nice.
Stuff about filmmaking.
We like movies.
We like movies. We do want movie podcasts.
I just want to point out that probably my favorite part of the experience of watching the trailer was when Mike turned to both of us and said, well, the shot of the girl in the lingerie, and said, like, she doesn't look that sexy. I'm just throwing that out there. You talked all about, like, oh, we have our first female guest, and then you say shit like that. If she's not going to be good looking, I don't want to see her on my movies.
No, it's not like that. It's just like a weird shot to have, because there was sexier shots with her like drenched in water, like that. It was like made like
maybe if they're trying to bring the point of the shot.
Well, if they're trying to bring like sex appeal into the trailer for an action movie, of course with Colin Farrell, you're going to have a sexy co-star, and she's a beautiful woman. Like,
yeah,
I'm not
like
saying that.
RPG.
It was just a weird choice of lingerie. I felt like I just don't feel like it was a good choice for her. It was like the 90s, like 80s, 90s, really high, like, you can't see the line, can you,
Russ? I just have to let him keep talking.
Come on. That's all you got out of that trailer? Let's go.
No, I got more. So I told you guys when I saw this on your list that, so I work for the Greater Philadelphia Cultural Alliance. We used to be at 16th and Walnut. Over the summer, we moved to 13th and Walnut. Right before we moved, they were shooting this movie, and they were actually shooting a lot of it from our building, specifically from the 6th floor, which our office was on, and we had roof access through our offices, so they were coming into the office. They were going to be they said they were going to be there for, I think it was 3 days. Mm-hmm. It ended up being a week, and then back again later on. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. At first it was cool.
Then it became a hassle?
Then it became a hassle, for sure.
There was a hassle story that I'll tell after this,
too. but I remember, like, the day that they were shooting, like, that scene where they saw, like, the guy, like, crashing out of the window, he's all tangled up in the extension cord, like, coming into work then one morning, and, like, there's a dude hanging out the window, looking like he's dead, and they're like, oh, you can't go in yet, and it's like, I we work here, like, you have to let us in, and they did. but it was a little crazy.
So did you meet Colin Farrell?
I did not meet Colin Farrell, but I did meet his assistant who, as he was wandering through the offices, passed me and asked if there was a microwave where he could heat up a cup of coffee for Mr. Farrell. So I directly contributed to Colin Farrell's caffeine intake, and I thought that was admirable that the man doesn't just demand a fresh cup of coffee.
Yeah, he just wants a reheated cup of coffee. I actually had the pleasure of meeting Colin
Farrell.
He's one of
us.
I met him because they were filming where we recorded this episode. We were, like, right by 5th and Girard.
Mm-hmm.
Couple blocks down around between 4th
and 2nd.
Yeah, it
looks like under the L, right?
Well, there's a shot under the L that they did that's down in Kensington.
Okay.
They shot it. But there's a scene, the opening scene in the advertisement to the trailer.
The trailer for the trailer.
There's a shot of Colin in a room that has, like, it's just, like, all blue, and he's sitting in a chair, like, kind of looks like he's tied up or, like, talking to somebody. It was shot at this abandoned old pizza place, that, like, right on the corner up here by Germantown Avenue, and they were also filming a chase scene, like, down this block, and I couldn't cross the street to get to work because they had all the trucks blocking everything off, and I was like, I need to go meet my carpool, and then Colin Farrell walks by, and I was like, oh, hi, and he, like, shook my hand, and, like, there's nobody else, it's like 6:30 in the morning, I'm walking to work, and he's just, like, out there, like, doing his thing, and I shook his hand, and he, like, went back to his thing and, like, ran off, and I was like, I just met Colin Farrell, like, really quickly on my way to work. All right.
Yeah, but I saw him a lot, but didn't meet him. Yeah. We actually, not me personally, but some of, like, collectively as an office, we got in trouble because, like, they were right outside on on this, the rooftop part that was extended from the sixth floor, and people were going into the corner offices to try to catch a glimpse of Colin Farrell, and it was like, can you guys close your blinds? It's really distracting. And it's like, you know what's distracting? Having yeah. you trudge through our offices all week.
My buddy worked in the Apple store when they were shooting that movie, and yeah, right, the Apple store is just a big glass window.
Yep.
Every shot there are people.
He was showing me video from his phone, where what he was really trying to get video was Colin Farrell, mm-hmm. but what I was noticing was there was literally just a wall of people at the glass, like
I'm
all trying to get
they
pictures
didn't,
of him.
Make the Apple Store like close for a couple hours.
Yeah,
they don't want you in the shot. Yeah. Like you don't let like, you distracting the actors.
It's also weird that they shot it while they were open, because normally in movies when they're shooting in Philly, especially
they shut down
an area mm-hmm. and they do it super early in the morning so it doesn't block anything. Because I had this problem when Transformers was filming in Philadelphia as working at Starbucks at 10th and Chestnut, and they filmed that whole chase scene with the Transformers down Chestnut Street and the buildings like exploding. I was walking to work and no idea that they were filming that day, and I had to open at 4:45 in the morning, and I'm walking up and I hear a crowd of people screaming and flashing lights, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? There's like an apocalypse happening right now. And then I see all the movie trucks and stuff, and I was like, I need to get to the Starbucks and open up. And they let me over. And then you could constantly hear crowds of people running down the street screaming. And then one of Shia LaBeouf's and Megan Fox's like PAs came in and they're like, they want to come in and order coffee themselves because they just want to get away from the set. And I was like, okay. And that's the story of how I met Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox.
Wow, you're reading all sorts of celebrities. So that movie. And then there was some other movie that they're shooting like in late August further down Walnut. I don't remember what it was.
Was it the Jamie Foxx movie? Because they filmed one of those movies in Philly and they like...
I don't know, but it was another one where, like, they, you know, they didn't, like, they did it, like, during the day and during the evening, so people were out, and, like, you just have to wait on the sidewalk and stuff.
It's the worst.
Remember, that's actually the first time Aaron Herzog and I, like, hung out in person. We went to Moriarty's for dinner, and this is historically significant because that is the night that he asked me if I wanted to take over Woodout when he moved to LA. Yeah. And there was some movie going on. That's, I don't know. It's not a good story. It's not a very good story. You should probably edit that out.
It's going to stay in there. I'm going to use that as your clip. So, going into... Did you see anything that you liked in this movie? Like, I liked a lot of things. I liked... talking about what happened in the past episode with Joe Bell... Is the music came back with the...
Oh, yeah, the fucking... Yeah.
They must get the rights to, like, one song and everybody, you know...
Well, no, it's like all these... Since the Inception trailer, when the Inception trailer had the, like, wong sound...
Oh, you're not talking about that specific soundtrack. You're talking about just, like, that sort of, like, that technique. Yeah.
They do that in, like, every action movie trailer now. It's in everything.
Do you guys watch The Walking Dead?
I stopped watching it after the end of last season.
The end of last season one or season two?
Whatever. No, the
season
midway
two
point.
He's talking about.
The midway point
season
two.
Yeah, the second half of season two hasn't started yet.
This is season three.
Season three. I watched all of season
two. So you're all caught up. Well, yeah. I'm not going to give anything away. I just wanted to say that, like, in a couple of the, not recent now because it's, like, they took off for a few months, but like the last couple episodes before the break, they were doing something similar. Like, do you guys remember that when it was like that, like just like droning or like like sort of like almost like a heartbeat kind of sound, and like it. It does. It like it makes
it's
you
very
so
effective.
Tense. Yeah.
The show got to a point.
It's interesting
me.
Though. I didn't realize that was like a trend.
It's a thing that's happening.
Now that you notice that we pointed it out to you, you're going to see it all over the place.
Probably. Yeah.
It's like what do you hear? Like the first time you hear a new word, like you'll hear
it 24
hours.
You'll
hear
it
like somewhere in the next 24 to 48 hours. You'll hear the word again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing because I've actually
that is
had
so
it
weird. To me. That
that's why I use words like repeatedly. As my other roommate tells me that I'll learn a new word and I'll say it over and over again. Just, I think it's funny that way.
The
Walking Dead, I can't, I'm not a fan.
Why not?
I actually haven't seen any of this season yet.
It got to a point where I just don't care about the characters. Like, when Lori dies, spoiler alert, I should have said that before.
I've read the comics.
Yeah. You know what happened.
She dies in a different way in the show, though.
Yeah,
I just didn't feel anything. Like,
really?
I felt for Rick afterwards, but that's the only time I ever felt for Rick in the show. Like, because I don't like Rick. I don't like anybody. I like Carl.
I can see what you're saying. I can be like, yeah, there isn't... I mean, it's kind of that way in the comics, too, though. There's no one that, like, you really, like, really feel attached to.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I love the comics. I liked the second season of the show a lot more than the first season. I felt the dialogue was lacking. I also feel the dialogue is also lacking in the comics often. But
yeah, that's true.
The second season just went on and on with just trying to find that stupid kid.
That didn't bother me. I know that bothers people. It didn't bother me either. So much.
See, the thing I like about the show is they really take their time with the storytelling. So there's just a lot of really drawn out character moments. Yeah. But I really like that about it.
Doesn't follow the comics too closely because then I'm surprised and I'm terrified the whole time. I am so jumpy. I was actually legit, like, my top fears as a child were that our house would catch on fire, zombies. I grew up on a cul-de-sac that backed up into a graveyard. And squirrels, because my mom I'll explain. My mom told me I'm the middle child. I have an older and younger brother. I remember my mom telling all of us, like, I don't know how it came up, but just like, don't pet the we were really young, like, don't try to pet squirrels, like, they might bite, they might have rabies. Like, apparently her brother, when they were little, like, tried to pet a squirrel and it bit him. It wasn't rabid or anything, but it bit him. So I, like, being, like, the dutifully anxious child that I was, like, didn't just, like, not pet the squirrels. I was, like, actively afraid of the squirrels. And, like, I like, included something about that in, like, one of my college essays. So, like, years later, like, talking about it with my mom, she was like, I would look out the window, like, watching you walk to the bus stop in kindergarten, and all of a sudden you just start sprinting. Is that why? I was like, yeah, probably. But yeah, and walking to, just, yeah, that scene with Lori, I had a totally different experience. Again, like, didn't really love Lori on the show. Feel an attachment to her. But that scene, I have never had a more powerful reaction to a film or television. I was out of control, like, sobbing. Like, I was so shocked that they did it, and they did it that way, and they showed so much, and, we already said she dies, but you haven't watched it yet?
Yeah, no, but I heard they don't do, because to me, that scene in the book.
Carl's there, and just, like, the fact
that he knows what happens, because it happens the same, it doesn't happen the same way.
It doesn't happen the same way in the book.
Carl does it in the comics.
Does he? I don't remember.
What are we talking about?
The way Lori dies.
Oh, well, the way Lori dies in the book is, like, one of the most horrifying things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, she's shot when there's an attack on the prison. She gets shot
through the stomach while she's holding the baby, and the baby just explodes in her arms.
Right. Yeah. Well, then it's different in the show.
Yeah.
It's Carl's different. Involved. Does that help?
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, she's already dead.
See, the only
we're just going to
Does he shoot the zombie, Lori?
She doesn't come back, but he shoots her. Okay, so they go through the
whole thing.
Yeah, you don't see it, but it's like...
That's cool. I like that.
What's her name is there with him.
The blonde?
Glenn's romantic interest.
Yeah, isn't that the
farm girl?
Oh, the farm girl. Maggie.
Maggie is there with him, and he's like, no. He's like, no, I can do it. It's my mom. Yeah. And, like, so she's carrying the baby. She leaves.
Carl's my favorite character in the whole story, and the development of Carl is, like, really important to me. And I was really, really upset when they had him kill zombie Shane instead of actual Shane, because I think that's, like.
Yeah, that's a lot different.
It's a much, much different thing for him.
And I don't think that they're going to do, you know what I'm talking about. They're probably not going to...
With the little kid? Yeah, well, because I don't even think that little kid... There aren't really other little kids in the show, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But yeah, that is...
What are they going to do with episode 100, or issue 100, when, what's his name?
Whoa. I don't know if I'm all caught up with the comics.
I'm
not caught up. I just know what
I was really behind. Now I'm less behind because I got both the compendiums.
Okay.
So yeah, I might be.
I had them on the computer and I read them there.
Okay, but yeah, no, that scene where I like lost, and then like how Rick reacts. I'll
see that because that's Carl's actually involved, interesting to me because like Carl that. Is.
I seriously have never
Rick had
Aaron and I watched together and like I was like fucking lost it and like we had to talk about it like the two of us were just like so shaken. By it, and it was just, it was powerful. It was moving.
I had the reaction at the end of Lost.
I never watched Lost.
Balled my eyes out. And also,
when at the end of I'm forgetting everybody's names. So the little girl that was missing that they were looking for, and then it turns out
Sophia.
Yeah, Sophia, and then Sophia was a zombie in the barn, and like I think everybody, everybody should have seen that coming. Sure. I did not for whatever reason. Yeah. I was watching them like I don't have a TV. Like I was watching them.
So you were watching back to back to back.
No, I wasn't watching them back to back, but I wasn't watching them like every week. Yeah. Like, so it didn't. I was so wrapped up in the moment that I didn't see. I don't know. I have no excuse. I'm an idiot. I should have seen it coming, but that. Also, like, tore me up. It was like, I think mostly because in the comics, she and Carl have such a bond that it was like, oh my god, they got rid of Sophia. They didn't just like lose Sophia, like Sophia, like that.
Yeah, I know.
Carl does have a new love interest. I don't know how I feel about that because I'm not sure what the age gap is there.
It's really creepy.
I thought she was a lot older.
Yeah, it's
weird.
Isn't
is
he
one
like
farm
seven?
Brothers?
Yeah.
Yes. It's, and it's really
nothing
creepy.
Happens. Nothing happens. It's just clear that like they like.
But the way they
kind of
tie it in, it's just so.
Carl is...
He's grown up fast.
He's the most interesting character to me in the show and the book. Rick is really interesting, too, but I think Carl is like... And the longer the book goes on, the more I think that that is actually the point of the book, is that it's Carl's story. Especially, like, you said you're not...
super complex.
And you said you're not caught up yet. There's, like, some... It, like, just recently in the last, like, few issues, they've done some really big Carl stuff that's, like, really, really interesting. I think that book is really great, and I like the show too, and I like that it's different, but I feel like there's certain really big moments that they've changed that I really wish they wouldn't have, because I feel like they're very significant to the development of those characters.
Like, I couldn't stand the stuff with the CDC in the first season. I was just like, this is just dumb.
I kind of liked the CDC stuff. It was an interesting way to explain what it was.
The shower montage.
We're
all so happy to be showered. Like, what? What's going on?
I need a shower. Just so you guys know.
We can smell it.
Really?
That was my little Z snap for that.
All right.
That biting insult.
As we do in every episode, Garrett, do you feel like rating this movie that we talked about?
Dead Man Down. I don't know, man. This is gonna be like a one joint movie. I'm like, but you know, I'm interested in it. I definitely want to see it, but I don't know. I'm not like, I don't need to get crazy for this movie. But I can't go into it sober. It doesn't look like it's gonna be that great.
I actually proposed to my coworkers that we like. Go watch it together and like play a drinking game. Like, anytime you recognize The Office, like take a shot.
Yeah, that's funny.
So we do a rating system. If you've listened to any of the shows before, you make up your own rating system.
Oh, okay.
So he does joints. I do if you're going to watch it in theaters or pirate it. I think Joe Bell has the best one so far. The topped Sidney Gantz cake breaks.
Yeah, Sidney Gantz did cake breaks. How many cake breaks he would need? But Joe Bell did how many PB stars he would give each movie?
So it's up to you to come up with your own rating.
Can you guys
system.
Go first while I think about mine?
Yeah, so I'm gonna smoke one joint for this movie. This is totally arbitrary.
Okay.
Okay. They never really even out to any kind of.
No, his are.
The ratings don't necessarily matter. I'm not, you know, like a one joint movie is not a bad movie necessarily. It just means. I don't want to get too crazy.
If I'm snowed in and I have nothing to do and I'm off of work on a weird day, I might actually go out and see this movie. Other than that,
if you're snowed in, you probably are
snowed in out of work to not have to go to work. Like if I have a snow day from work and I can get the bus down to whatever.
Fair.
I'll go see it in the theaters because it's in Philadelphia. Respect it.
I mean, the filmmaking looks very interesting in this.
Yeah. Well, the guy with the girl with the dragon tattoo was beautifully shot, so I'm assuming that he did the same thing here if he's doing any of that. Other than that, I'll probably pirate, because I do that with almost every movie.
I'm going to say, I'm gonna humor you guys. You said you want some lady energy on the show. I'm going to say that I'm only going to apply lipstick on one lip for this movie. just the top lip. Doesn't seem worth it to me to commit to the whole thing. Looks fine. If it's on, I'll watch it, but I don't need to see it.
Fair, right. I like that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Allison, how can people find you on the internet? And you have some plugs or whatnot?
Sure. Well, you can... a lot of the stuff you read on Without is coming from me, along with all the people that also, you know, put their time into the site and the energy. And, like, if anybody... You know, if anyone ever wants to read the site, let me know. Also, I have a Twitter account. It's just at Allison Zeidman. And then, is this the time you want me to mention shows?
Shows, yeah.
Okay.
We'll mention them on all three of them. I mean,
great.
You'll be here.
It's going to be gone all week, so.
Yeah, cool. All week, so you can just promote them, whatever.
Okay, so on the 15th, I'm doing Alex Perlman's show, Something Witty at the Dive.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And then on the 21st, I'm doing Comedian Deconstruction, which I believe Joe Bell, who you guys just had on, is also on. Looking forward to that. Chip Chantry is also going to be on the show, and a couple other people who I feel like a jerk, but I don't remember right now. Oh gosh, that's going to sound terrible.
No, it's okay.
I wouldn't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tough to remember. There's so many people. That's my way of thinking about life.
It's not like it's not because I've never heard of them. I just don't remember like who's
on the show.
With me.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I don't want them to hear this and be like, wow.
We set up a show that I couldn't remember who was on for a while.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I know everything, so it's all right. Yeah. Garrett, how can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Philadelphia. It's with an F.
And you can find me on Twitter at Mike Bauer, B-A-U-R-E-R. You can follow us on Twitter at Trailer Trash Pod, minus the E, no E.
Oh, and let me also plug that you guys did an interview for What Out that will be, actually, by the time this airs, will have run, but people can go back and read it.
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah, read our interviews.
Thank you for that.
While you're reading the interview, drink a PBR.
Yes.
Glad to have PBR as our sponsor for as long as we can have them.
It's the blue ribbon of beers.
Yeah.
That's right.
16 whole fluid ounces, you guys.
Yeah.
That's right.
We got the pounders. We got the
It's a lot of ounces.
Stuff.
A lot of fluid ounces.
They gave us the good stuff.
Go find us on Tumblr. Find us on SoundCloud. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, WordPress.com. We're on there. I want to get it as .com soon. I just don't have the money. Soon enough, we'll be up there. And do all that stuff, and we'll be back tomorrow with Allison's sleeping over for the whole week, and we're doing Oz, the Great and Powerful, with James Franco, and
Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi, and I'm going to throw Garrett into some improv, and Allison's going to improv with Garrett because that's my favorite thing on the show.
I hate this.
So we'll be back on. We'll be back tomorrow. All right, bye.
Bye.
This has been a Trailer Trash podcast, produced by Mike Bauer and Garrett Smith. Special thanks to FocuPhilly.com.
Hey, yo, man, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming out. Hey, yo, Father Garrity, rest in peace, man. Yo, Mitch, give that wife the dick all day.